Hi.
Hi.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English Podcast, the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies or read more books, but doesn't know where to start. This is episode 184. We're back with, and it's a double feature this week.
Woohoo!
Back by popular demand.
The crowd loves the double feature.
Yeah.
We know what the people want.
Back by our own demand. Popular or no. The movies that we watched were two from the interdimensional romance collection that we, at least I love so much. I don't know. I shouldn't speak for you, I guess.
No, I'm a big fan of it as well.
Okay, cool. Wings of Desire.
Mm-hmm.
And Afterlife with a space. And they make a pretty good pairing, I thought.
I thought so too, actually. They really complement each other in theme.
Yeah. So that's the topic of today's episode. And we'll get into that discussion in just a second. But first of all, how has your week been?
Mine has been exhausting and just like nonstop, go, go, go. And it has been for, I guess, like 2 weeks now. At first, the semester seemed to be a kind of chill one, like thought that things were going nice and breezy. And then all of a sudden, it just seems like everything happened at once. And I've just been working, and I'm really tired, and I haven't been sleeping as well because I've been stressed. So it's just kind of a bummer. But things will chill out again, you know, so it goes. Things ebb and flow. That's just life, and that's fine. How's your week?
It's all about the peaks and valleys of life.
Yeah, you're so right.
Do my eyes deceive me, or is
I got bangs
a little different?
I got bangs on Thursday, and I really like them. But it's like brutally windy here today, and I just walked back from campus, and they just blew like straight up. So, you know, so I think they look kind of dumb right now. It's a really impractical hairstyle to have, I just learned, but otherwise, I like them.
It's been a long couple of weeks. I went to the United States and back, and a whole lot has happened. But I'll just say that I'm working on it. I'm getting back in business here in Spain. But yeah, so I've been back for about a week now. Yeah, exactly a week, actually. And it's been a pretty eventful week. And my time at home was also pretty eventful. But I guess the highlight is that I went to trivia on last Wednesday and I won.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And so I will be returning tomorrow, or this Wednesday. Maybe I'll win again, but I love trivia, and I've been kind of on the lookout, and I found a cool opportunity to do some trivia, which was really fun.
Was there any theme, or was it just like general?
So there's three different rounds, and each one had a different category. So the first one was 2014.
So random.
Which I remember.
10 years ago.
10 years ago, yeah. And then I guess the second round is always just like general trivia.
Okay.
And the third round was nicknames, various nicknames of different things. So yeah, we'll see how it goes the next time around. But I do love a good trivia, and I usually do pretty good. So
that's awesome.
Take what you can get. Yeah, I've been kind of, my sleeping has been very weird. I took a 6-hour nap yesterday, which is crazy.
That's intense.
That's been the highlight of my work week so far, nice. To be honest. But and watching some movies. So I was able to watch all of the Mission Impossible movies on the plane.
Oh, good.
So I'll have a full rundown of all of that on the wrap up, which will be the next episode. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it too. So yeah, that's what I've got going on.
Nice.
This is our episodely reminder to go vote for The Shiners if you haven't yet. I haven't checked to see if there's any new entries, but I guess I don't need to for right now. But that's something that you should all participate in. If you're listening, we want to hear from you and let your voice be heard.
Yeah, we really do. It doesn't really mean anything if it's just the two of us voting. So
yeah, and we do have a couple of votes in, but we can use some more based on the numbers of the people that listen. We could use some more participation. So
come on, people, speak up.
Yeah, let your voice be heard. But there'll be a link in the description. It's a Google form to just go vote for whatever you feel. You don't have to have seen all of the movies, or I guess really any of them.
Yeah, just vote blind. Who cares? Just
vote, yeah. yeah. So let's see. Let's get into the movies. Wings of Desire and mm-hmm. Afterlife. This was a rewatch for both of these for me. You hadn't seen Afterlife, right?
That is correct.
What order did you watch these in?
Wings of Desire first.
I also did the same. So let's start there. you like this one more than I do. So do you want to introduce it?
I love Wings of Desire. So it's a German movie. I don't know from what year, but it's old.
Kind of. I think 87 sounds right.
Okay. Oh man, I would have guessed older than that. I guess just because it's like predominantly in black and white. That's why my mind is really old.
Anything in black and white is ancient.
I watched this movie for the first time about 2 years ago because it inspired one of the songs on Sufjan Stevens' album, A Beginner's Mind. That's what led me to it. I had never heard of it other than that. And I loved it immediately. It was a first watch 10 out of 10 for me, which was very exciting. So I was excited when Evan said that it was in this collection on the Criterion Channel. But also the reason why I wanted to watch it again right now specifically was because for our last movie episode, we had watched Starman from the same collection. And I talked about in our review of that movie how much it didn't work for me, the way that like the aliens are like interested in the humans.
How stupid it was.
Yeah, how dumb that movie was. And I was like, I can't wrap my brain around why I hate this energy from the alien in this movie when I kind of like the same thing in Wings of Desire, except they're not aliens, they're angels, but they're like fascinated in humans. Like they keep a record of humans the same way that aliens do, kind of in Starman. I was like, why does it work for me in this one, but not that one? So I really wanted to watch it again because of that. And I think I can better say why it works now. But anyway, that's my introduction to this film. So this is my second watch of it, and it remains a 10 out of 10 for me.
Nice. So I just want to point out that Wim Wenders, the director of this, has a movie in the Oscars this year. As the Japanese representative for foreign feature.
Cool. I had no idea.
It's called, I think, Better Days. What is it called? Just a moment. I should have been more prepared about this.
Once again, in my mind, I'm like, that director's probably long dead because this movie.
This came out after Starman, for the record.
That's actually really crazy.
Perfect Days, it's called.
Cool. I wanna...
Yeah, it might be out in theaters in the States now. I personally can't find it anywhere to watch, but
I don't feel like I've seen it anywhere, but
Wim Wenders is also just such a cool guy, like in interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I believe it. I want to hang out with him.
I really believe it because this movie's so cool.
Yeah.
That probably speaks to his character.
So my overall thoughts on this one was that I liked it better this time. Okay, I should point out my own personal history with this. If you haven't heard me talk about it on here before, basically this was the last movie. I watched this for film history in my sophomore year. Sophomore year. There's no T in that word. it was the last movie I watched in a theater setting, like in a screening setting, before everything shut down for COVID, which is wild. And yeah. It's wild that was like 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago now. But I had some very mixed feelings about it at the time. And basically this viewing, I liked it better than I did that time. But the things that bothered me still, the things that I didn't like, I still didn't like. So I pushed it from a 7 to an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
And it's still a great movie. Like it is just like a very interesting and great movie, but there's just a couple things that rub me the wrong way about how it's presented that I'm just like,
cool. Well, I'm excited to get into it. I want to hear what those thoughts.
So first of all, do you want to say why you like it so much?
Sure. So this movie is about two angels who have been angels since like the dawn of time. And it seems it's not really the angel universe here is not described in much detail at all. Like, why are they angels or what do they do? but it seems that they're tasked with keeping a log of the human experience. Like the two of them, they can hear all human thoughts and they sort of jot down important moments. And the important moments are sometimes good, sometimes really small. Like the moments that they report to each other are very... They don't seem to like follow much of a pattern, I guess. And then one of the angels decides to stop being an angel to have sort of the human experience in the name of love, really. And I love it so much because I think that it really gets at like a value of life, a way to like appreciate the human experience in such a variety of ways in a not preachy way, in my opinion, which really means a lot. I think a lot of movies try to get at that same thing, like try to get at this, like, wow, you should really just be present and live your life and enjoy it. And it's always like, okay, thanks. Never thought of that. So simple.
I'll keep it in mind.
Yeah. This one, I don't know, it's just not forced at all. Like the type of movie, type of like a hopeful human movie that really does it for me is when it's just like, it keeps it real simple. It's not very forced. It's not this like grand, like you have to make all these changes to have a full human experience. Like the whole point of this movie is that to just feel the feelings of being alive is so inherently valuable. And I just really love that. Like that's such a nice, mindful perspective to be kind of reminded to take, that anybody can sort of just step into. Like the angels of this movie, they only see in black and white. Whenever it's shot from an angel's perspective, it's in black and white. And then when you see things from a human's perspective, it's in full color. And what they talk about a handful of times, the two angels among each other, is that to think is and to hear the thoughts of others, like to hear the perspectives of others, is not to feel. Those are two completely different things. You can hear about the feelings, but that is just really not the same thing as actually feeling. And that's the big difference. Like that's what keeps the angels so interested in humanity, and like the unpredictable nature of humans keeps them interested. And that just makes so much sense to me. And I love it. Like it just really... That's just so true. And I like to be reminded to think that way. It's like, yeah, like I can think and think and think all I want, and I can make my life, this whole experience about that's just up in my head, I guess. But that's not really the point. Like you got to just kind of tap into the physicality of these things sometimes and just feel. And that's so cool. And it's done so well. Like, love the black and white thing and the color thing. I think that's so, the first time I watched it, I was kind of blown away by that. I thought it was so interesting. And then I guess the other thing that I really love about this movie, and I feel like I'm really rambling on.
No, that's fine. Go for it.
I love the character of Marion, and I love the love story that happens between the angel and her. I can never remember his name, but he has a really cool name.
I think it's like Damiel. Oh,
maybe it is. Yeah, the relationship that happens between the two of them, it's just so, it makes my heart like so warm to think about this person, this guy, an angel, mm-hmm. who has seen like centuries worth of humanity and finds like one person whose thoughts, who like before she even knows him, just her thoughts that he can hear without her being aware, mm-hmm. like resonate with him so much that he's like, this is what love is. This is what desire is. I would give up everything to just be in this type of feeling. That's so cool, dude. That's so beautiful. I love that so much. I love true love and romance. And I think that that's such a good example of it. And I also just love hearing Marion's thoughts because I just think she's really interesting. She just has a really neat perspective. Like the way that she kind of talks herself through her life and through the changes that she's going through and kind of like helps herself feel it out, even feel out these disappointments in her life and these dreams that are sort of fading away. I just think that she has such a beautiful like stream of consciousness that you get to tap into in the movie. And she, her character to me is just like so perfectly written. And I really love her. And she makes me love this movie.
Nice. Yeah, I agree with like a lot of the stuff you said. I personally am not super crazy about the love story in this one.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, on this viewing, I found myself more drawn to the other angels. Mm-hmm. Adventures, Cassio.
Yeah.
I think they're really cool, but like I latched on to the just kind of the gestalt of human consciousness, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think is what I love about this movie so much. And I think the ones where it's like Cassio just kind of doing his own thing, I think he has the better like angel moments, I guess.
He does really good ones.
There's a couple that really like, you know, stand out to me. And I love the plays on color and black and white, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there's something that I just don't quite buy into you live forever and you find the one person and decide that I'm going to give it all up or whatever. But I think it's not necessarily just that. I think it's like an accumulation of all of the human and like I love the case that's made, you know, for that.
Me too.
Through Marion, I guess, too, but also just kind of like the concept that you're talking about of like thinking and feeling aren't really the same.
Mm-hmm.
And like the difference in that, I love that Peter Falk just like plays himself in this as an angel, like as another angel that is a human now, which is like very comforting and seems right, seems true to form. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know, for me at least, the ending of this kind of undermines a lot of what came before.
Oh, how come?
I think that when they meet each other in real life, the angel and the lady.
Yeah.
The way that it plays out is like, I don't know. It just really kind of took me out of it. Both times I watched it, I'm just like, the first time you meet someone and she just goes on this long monologue about her feelings.
That's so funny. I made Adam watch this with me this time around, and he said the exact same thing. He was like, I just don't get that. And it felt kind of silly and weird to me. But for me, it's just sort of like, as soon as she feels his presence, it connects for her. Like everything sort of, the dots align, she gets what's going on because she's felt his company before. And I think that what that whole monologue is supposed to be is just that like, she realizes that he's sort of been within her consciousness before. And I think she thinks like that's how he knows her and that's how he communicates. So as soon as he's there and she feels that same energy again, she just says every little thought that pops into her mind because she's like, right, that's how we connect. Like you've heard all my thoughts before. So I'm perfectly comfortable to just give that to you again right now. And I think like what she's trying to say in doing that is she's like, I recognize what this is.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I think it's just that there's a disconnect for me, and this is actually what I was gonna say beforehand anyways, is that there's a disconnect between thoughts in your head and saying them out loud. And I think that there's something that I think is very true in that you have these thoughts in your head that seem so profound that come off as kind of ridiculous when you put them into words. And I think that is the case here, but I like the idea of, and I mean, this might be a case of me like wishing the movie was something else, which I try to kind of avoid. But I think in this case, it feels a little weird to have these, you know, like this kind of stream of consciousness thinking about things. I think works when you're like in someone's head. But then it kind of like sticks out like a sore thumb when you're putting it into words, at least for me. And it kind of removed me from that suspension of disbelief isn't the right word, but kind of like being able to go along with it. Cause there's a lot of stuff in here that's like, that if characters were speaking a lot of the stuff that you hear from in their heads, like out loud, mm-hmm. right? It would come mm-hmm. off as like kind of like pretentious. Not pretentious isn't the right word either. Totally. But like
I see what you're saying.
Like too verbose, like
yeah,
too profound or whatever. And I think that it's quite jarring for me to have that without acknowledging the difference between those thoughts in your head versus in the real world. And I see what you're saying on the one hand of like she's recognizing that his presence is the same, you know, whether he's an angel or now a human. Mm-hmm. But from like my experience watching it both times, it just really kind of took me out because it's like this big, you know, kind of climactic scene in the movie
mm-hmm.
that is like kind of switching from what you get up to that point. And the way that it's kind of executed is just a little, I don't know. It just took me out of it. And I don't know how to, I mean, like, it's the feeling of watching the movie, right?
That yeah.
Both times I was like, And I think that the way that it was handled, at least for me, kind of undermined a bit of what came before in some ways. But I don't really know how to put into words exactly why that is. And it's been this one I watched like a few days ago by now. Mm-hmm. So I don't have like the experience like very fresh, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like just got out of watching it. but I felt the same way. But I think I got it more this time. Mm-hmm. And I was more kind of accepting of what it was doing and going for. But there's still mm-hmm. like a little bit off in how the ending, like that turn, was kind of executed, I guess I'd say.
Interesting. I liked it. I don't know. I don't know how to explain like what about it is just fine with me. Maybe I would feel differently if that moment happened with a character who is not the way that Marion is. Like I think that I didn't have that sort of like jarring experience because the way that she thinks silently in her head is just so poetic and so like monologue-y and so just kind of like almost as if she's writing it down even though they're just in her thoughts. So for her to just speak like that out loud, I guess it just didn't bother me. I was just like, yeah, that's just how she thinks. I don't know. She's just like that. to your point about not buying into this idea that there's like the one that would make you give it all up and live out your days as a human. I usually feel that way too. Like we talked about this, I think when we watched Bell, Book and Candle, mm-hmm. like I was like, I hate that she gave up being a witch, like for love, like that's just horrible. And I asked then too, I was like, well, why does it work for me in Wings of Desire? And I think it's because like, especially the second time around, you really get the vibe that he is going to become a human regardless. Like he's about to, like he talks to his angel friend about like kind of thinking it might be time. And I think it works for me because I'd probably be on the same page. Like if I had spent hundreds of years being an angel and I knew that I could just
Berlin in the 80s, this is the peak of human existence.
I knew I could just sort of like ride out the rest of my days experiencing humanity. I think I'd be getting pretty close to wanting to make that shift as well. So I think it works for me in this one so well because it was just sort of like, that's what he was gonna do. Like it was time for him to be a human. He wanted it so badly. There were so many human experiences he really wanted to have. And then meeting Marion was just sort of like the final straw, like the final catalyst, that was all fine with me. Like, I, in this one, I just buy into it way more than in other times. And I don't even know if you're really supposed to believe that they're like madly in love and they're like soulmates and they're going to be together forever. But it's just sort of that they connected enough for the time that he had that thought that was like, okay, it's now or never. Like, I've never had felt this type of connection before. I want to be a human anyway. Let's just jump into it. And I'm just so glad that he did. It's so sweet and so cute. And I love that line at the end where he says, I know now what no angel knows. I was like, he did it.
He did it. Cool. Yeah. I don't know if I have too much more to add about Wings of Desire. I liked it more this time around.
I'm really glad that you did. I hoped that you would.
I don't think I was ever a hater of this one, but I'm definitely not now. Yeah. I don't know if I got the stuff with the old man who is named Homer, according to the credits. I feel like that might have gone over my head a little bit.
What do you mean?
Just kind of the focus on that character and what he was up to.
I liked when he talked about like how, well, first of all, I think he's kind of about to die. This is the vibe. And I think he kind of knows that and is just sort of reflecting on some final thoughts. And I like that part where he's sort of like, I think he knows that he's talking to the angel kind of, but maybe not all the way. And he's talking about how it's so confusing to him that like peace has never been this sort of prevailing goal of humanity, that like the appeal of peace doesn't seem to last all that long, or the legacy of peace is not told the way that like a legacy of war is. And he's just sort of reflecting on why that is. I think that that's just sort of, I don't know, like, first of all, I think that's fun to think about. I like that in the movie. It's just kind of a cool thought. And then I also think it's just something that like really resonated with the other angel, Cassiel.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think that he was probably thinking like, yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, I've been for a while, been here for a while. And I also don't have an answer to that question.
Nice.
Yeah, so I guess I liked its purpose to just kind of show like what are the thoughts that still sort of like touch the angels after doing this with so many people for so long. And I think that was one of them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of like the runtime for both of these movies was like very meditative. I spent a lot of time watching both of these kind of just going along with the flow.
For sure.
So I think like there's a good amount of stuff, especially in Wings of Desire, that I didn't necessarily like hyper focus on. Like I said earlier, I kind of just got the gestalt effect of like everyone's thoughts more so than like zeroing in on anything specific.
Yeah. I actually really liked that aspect of both of these movies. And it's so funny that both of them like really did that. You really kind of have this collection of like very human thoughts and memories and stuff that you just sort of sit through. I think I liked it better in Wings of Desire than in Afterlife, but I liked it in both.
I was actually thinking about this like just before we started recording, that they work very well as a pairing, but I don't know if this is like a double feature. Like, I don't know if you should watch both of these in one sitting.
They're like really long,
But they work together as a pair well. So I think we can go transition into Afterlife.
Cool.
This is one that I specifically wanted to rewatch because I wasn't so sure about how I felt about it. This director, Hirokazu Koreeda, who is up for a couple of Shiners for the for Nobody Knows. We've watched a few of his movies, or I guess just two for the podcast. But well, three now. But I didn't realize this, but he, at least for this one and for Nobody Knows, he did all the editing also. Like, he's credited as the editor. So he's up for, like, I think the Shiner for best director and best editor, which I think was I just wanted to point that out because I realized it when I was like actually doing the ballot and actually giving credit to the specific people. I was like, oh, huh. But this was one of his earlier movies, kind of the one that set him up for like international success, international stardom, maybe, from 1998, Afterlife. But yeah, Kurosawa is like one of my favorite directors working today. And this is one that I wasn't quite sure about. I think it's probably the most interesting premise in any of his movies. But I wasn't sure about how he went about executing this one. So I said, I don't know. The first time I saw it was just kind of like a weird watch that I wanted to revisit it. And I saw it on here and I thought that it was like fitting for this theme, kind of. Like it worked out quite well. But it's a very different story from all the other movies that I've seen in this collection so far.
I agree.
Which is interesting. But I also liked this one a lot better. I still liked it quite a bit the first time I saw it, but I liked it better on this watching, which I think, you know, kind of happens as you watch stuff for the second time, usually. I think it's kind of rare when there's something that you like and then you'll watch again and dislike it. It's like if you like it a little bit, you like it more. If you dislike it, you'll like it even less, maybe.
Yeah, it does seem to go that way.
But yeah, basically the premise is that when you die, you go into this little waiting room area, this middle ground area, and these people, this company, I guess, I don't know, because they have like a logo and stuff.
Yeah.
they figure out one memory that you can take with you and they recreate it on film. And that's the only thing that you take with you to the next step, or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we follow the process. This takes place over the course of a week. As people come in and do their stuff and hit the road, and we get the adventures of the company doing this and the people dealing with it. It's kind of cool how it blends documentary and fiction, because Kurosawa had this idea, right? And he interviewed apparently over 500 people.
Oh my God.
Asking them about, you know, like they're just interviewing them about memories.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had like one memory to keep, what would it be? And a handful of those interviews are used in the movie.
That's really cool.
As like the people, and others are, you know, scripted and used with actors, but a lot of them are just the people that he brought in and talked with about this stuff.
That is so cool. I love that.
Isn't it? Yeah. So I think that's the essential thing that I think connected with me this time around. Because I think I've gone on here, like when I first watched this, I think I talked about in a wrap up that like he didn't quite nail down his style yet. But I on second viewing, I appreciate so much more that it's really shot the way that it's shot, like docu style. It's not like as assured as his later stuff, and you know, like you've seen, you know, Nobody Knows and Still Walking, and how kind of quiet but purposeful everything is shot in those ones, and in this one, like, there's a lot of handheld. It's very kind of loose, but for me that worked so much better kind of looking at it from the perspective of being true to life and being kind of this like docu-fiction hybrid, but also just like this, how that ties in with the theme and concept of death is just, you know, the continuation. Which I found so comforting in the way that it's presented in this one, how it's like, if you didn't understand it, but I totally wouldn't without subtitles. If there were no subtitles and you didn't know Japanese, then you'd have no idea that everyone in this movie is dead.
True.
Which I think is just like so cool the way that it's done, and like comforting in a way that it wouldn't be if it was more kind of stylized and more conventionally like a fiction feature.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So that's my biggest realization and takeaway. I'm curious what your thoughts were on first watch of this one.
I think I have a hunch that I would also probably like it better if I watched it again. Not that I didn't like it this time. Like, I did like it. And I love the concept of it. Like, it really is just so interesting. It's so funny to imagine that the afterlife is just like normal ass people. Yeah. No powers or anything like that. Like, they can't even actually, they don't even have the power to give you your real memory to take with you. Like, they're just going to make a set in a very human way and they're like,
we have one plane. It's not going to work. We got to take off the wing of this one plane that we have.
That is so funny to me. And also just, I don't know, I think it kind of poses a lot of really interesting questions to make you get introspective about your own life. Like, I was definitely watching this movie thinking, like, what memory would I come up with? That would be the last one that I want to take if this situation was happening to me. But also just like in general, like, what does it mean that the one thing that these souls will have is a fake memory? It's just like a retelling that's maybe even not all that accurate, because who knows how long it's been since it happened. But then like the people in the video are fake and the set is fake. Like, what does that imply? I don't know. Like, it just left me with a lot of things to think about, which I love. But man, it was so slow. I think on a second watch, I would get more out of it because I would go into it knowing the pace that it was going to take what it's about. But like this time around, I went in completely blind. So it's like a really fun reveal right away that they're all dead. Like, because like you said, you wouldn't really know that. I thought they were all in school. It looks like an old-timey school building. Yeah. And it's like, so you're dead. And like you're saying, I also just really love the almost like office, like interview documentary type of vibe. It really made me think of The Good Place. I don't know if you've seen that show, but I actually think The Good Place must be like fairly heavily inspired by this, because it's the same type of thing. Like, you die and you sit down at a desk and a person's like, so you're dead. And here's what's up. And I think that's really funny and interesting. And I also, like we were talking about with Wings of Desire, I really liked the whole like stretch of the beginning scenes where you're just hearing people recite their memories. I loved that, not even knowing that some of them were real interviews. And I love it so much more now knowing that. And then it's, I don't know, for this long period in the middle of the movie when like the interviews have kind of stopped, and before you sort of get some like interesting reveals about the characters, it just dragged to me. Like, and I was just like, where is this movie going to go? Like, what kind of conclusion is it going to, like, how's it going to wrap all this up, I guess? And then by the time it actually did wrap up, I was sort of like, I don't know if I really feel that was worth everything that came before this. Like, I don't know. I don't think that I got on board with it in time for the ending to be quite as impactful to me as it could be. And on second watch, I wouldn't have that experience because I would know exactly what was going on.
Yeah, I think I actually completely agree, because I think I felt the same way after watching it the first time. I was like, yeah, let's say once you kind of figure out the wavelength that it's on, it's like, okay, well, what now?
Yeah.
I guess. But I think this time around watching it, kind of, you know, having this day by day kind of thing where you have the structure of it tells you at the beginning of each day, and you have like each step in the process, and you get kind of this dual storytelling of, on the one hand, you have processing these 22 people through and how like this high concept kind of deal works of like, you have a week to preserve your last memory. And then I think it like kind of quietly transitions into like this more narrative story with the guy, I forget his name, but the old young guy. That I love actually,
the reveal that a young person is actually old. I don't know why, but it does it for every time. It's always like a jaw drop moment. Like, I love that.
He says, our generation.
Yeah. I'm actually 75. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think there's like stuff like that kind of concept too, of just kind of the ages being stuck as time goes by.
Yeah.
Really like kind of contrasts against this, you know, generic setting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Really well. And I think that you get like an interesting dynamic between the guy and the assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna like actually find their names, so I'm not just between Takashi and Shiori. Because it's like she's 18 and he's 22, but he's 75 yeah. and she's who knows how old or not.
It's a real Edward and Bella situation.
But
he's a senior in high school, but he's actually 107 years old.
That's crazy. But I think I really appreciated on this second viewing how nicely it kind of transitions, like deals with those two stories, and it's kind of very understated. But I think that really ties in to how it's like half documentary, half fiction. Because I think I didn't really like buy into that maybe the first time around, because it's presenting as a movie. But I think the themes are so cool in this, and the way that it's about filmmaking too, because you're really kind of the way that it's shot, where they're just kind of sitting around a table and it's like all handheld and they're just talking about like planning on what to do to make these memories.
I love they like put up those pictures of everybody and it's like, oh, this one's a real tough one. Like it's so therapy, like therapists in training do that exact same thing. Like they bring their sort of client case studies to the whole group and it's like, what am I supposed to do with this guy? It's just really funny to me to imagine that that's how the afterlife goes.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just love the concept and I really like came around on how it was executed on the second watch. So, but I thought the dynamic too was really cool with our main guy, Takashi, and kind of how he finds his memory in the afterlife, or kind of like all of, you know, our two like main characters, I guess, kind of have their best moments of their life in the afterlife, which I think is so interesting. Like, I don't know, something about that I just really, really love. And how it's handled and how it really is like so comforting. And I think that this one is really like deals with death in such a nice and healthy way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really agree
with that. Yeah. And like, I think concepts and situations that could be mined for like tragedy maybe are handled like really well here. You know, like anytime you see young people right in the afterlife, you know, it can be like really sad. And I think that this one, you know, doesn't shy away from anything, but handles it in a really like nice way. And that's something that I really appreciated.
I totally agree.
And how, I don't know, age doesn't equal like a real world experience once you get to the afterlife.
But it does say something about the memory that you might choose. Like they talk about how like so many of the young people who come through choose Disney World as their happiest memory that they want to take with them. And it really, I love that they didn't say a single thing about what happens after you pick your memory and you move on. Like, what does that really mean? So it's fun to imagine like, like what that might mean when you're like maybe an ageless soul with this one memory. Like, what does the one memory kind of imply about the next stage? You know, like, can people tell if you were really young based on the memory you chose from time to time? Or like, what if you get reincarnated and like the one thing, but you died as a kid in the life before, so the one thing you have is like a kid memory? Are you like a really new soul? Like a really If you picked a really profound memory, do you come into your next life with a bit more wisdom? Like, what does it all mean? It's fun. It's really fun how many questions this movie.
Yeah.
Ponder.
Yeah. I was doing like a little bit of research, and I think I read from Wikipedia. I don't know where the are the original sources from, that this idea came because Koreeda was dealing with his grandpa before he died, and he was like losing a lot of those memories. And he, you know, just got to thinking about like, what do you really like take with you, and what memories, you know, stick around or important or are important. And I think there's like a lot of thematic stuff to be mined about, you know, how memory can be unreliable too. Something that's really interesting about this one is that they have film of everyone's life that's like objective recording, and the guy that can't find his memory, he's like, here are your 72 tapes of for your 72 years of your life. Just watch them. And like, that's, you know, objectively recorded. So it's like you have the potential for that, but that's not what you're doing. It's, we're going to make a movie based on what you remember, not things as they happen, but things as you remember that. And like, there's a couple of other movies where, oh, I guess the one that came to mind is that I saw recently is Lost Highway, the David Lynch movie. And like, I don't really know the purpose of this line, but he says, sometimes I remember things. I like to remember things how I like to remember them, not how they happened, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, that theme is really interesting because it is very true, I think, about how we deal with our memories.
Mm-hmm.
I think like combining that with like, at the end of your life, what do you have to look back on is super interesting and pretty unique. I don't know if I've really seen that like specific intersection tackled anywhere else.
No, I don't think I have either. It really was so interesting. So yeah, I guess in general, I loved the themes. I loved the whole concept. I don't think I thought it was like super perfectly executed all the way through. But I think I have the potential to change my mind on that. It's just kind of a tricky first watch.
I pretty much agree. I guess the other thing to talk about with this one is how it fits into our interdimensional romance kind of category here. Because I said at the beginning that it's very different.
It is,
compared to everything else that I've seen, you know, from this collection and the ones that we've watched for the podcast.
It is so different because you don't get to see like a real like two-way connection at any point in this movie. Like you're kind
right,
of one side of like a loving relationship anytime it's brought up, which is so it fits the theme maybe like better than any of the others. It really is about love transcending the dimensions in a couple different ways, but it doesn't, it's like not really a romance movie.
Yeah,
like,
it's not a romance movie, but I was about to say that. Like, that just the same thought crossed where it's like not a romance movie, but there's a lot of romance in it. Like there's a lot of like kind of, you know, the strongest love, I guess. And you get to see it like truly, I would say.
Yeah.
I also just thought the dynamic between Takashi and Shiori was like very interesting because she's like, you're gonna leave now and it's my fault for helping you out with this. And it's like, I was vibing here. But I think the way that it ends is really nice, that she kind of steps into this role as the,
I like that too,
and the other kid who's kind of being a punk is now the assistant.
It's exciting.
I don't know. I thought that character was so funny. He's just like, he shows up. He's like, so we're not in heaven or hell. Everyone comes here. this dumb. And he's just kind of like roasting them the whole time, refuses to choose a memory.
I love that line when the guy's kind of like thinking about him or like taking notes about him, and he goes, he's like, doesn't seem to have a real job, but is strangely confident anyway. That made me laugh out loud. It was so funny.
Classic. Yeah, I think, yeah, overall, I'd say afterlife with the space is very, very unique.
Yes.
On second watch, I'm more impressed with what it's doing overall.
Nice.
I always thought the concept was like one of the coolest things ever. And I continue to think that, but I have a newfound appreciation for like the overall direction and like mechanisms of this one. Very different from Corrieta's other stuff. And probably still not my favorite overall from him. I love Still Walking, I think, just as a movie. But I think this one like achieves like this really fun docu-fiction hybrid that really ties in well with this crazy concept that I think is like very, very well done. So I bumped Wings of Desire from a 7 to an 8 on a rewatch. I'm bumping this one from an 8 to a 9 on a rewatch.
Oh, nice.
For my own rating. Did you have a rating for this one? Or
I would probably give it an 8 right now.
Nice. Anything to add?
No, I think that's about it.
Cool. So that's our double feature. Yeah, they work really well as a pairing. There's a lot of like fun similarities between them.
Yeah.
Totally. I don't know if like there's, I don't know, similarities between like the angels and the afterlife worker people. I actually had a question because Shuri goes like to the city at a certain point to do location scouting in this movie. Like, are all the people that are just kind of around also dead or like,
oh, that's a good question.
Because, you know, they say that there's, you know, multiple offices that do the same thing.
Right.
But, like, what else is going on in this kind of in-between world? Is like, is that all that's happening?
Are there, like, other jobs?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I don't know.
Because I think it's implied all the people that are still there are there because they're not ready to move on.
Right.
But, like, you also have the filmmaker people that are doing a different job. I don't know. It's interesting. The wider world, the implications of this in-betweeny kind of world. But, yeah. So that's our interdimensional double feature for this week.
It was really fun. They make a great pair.
Yeah. Cool. So I think next week will just be the February wrap up.
Right.
And then we might do Stoner Book Club. Episode after. I'm chugging along on that book.
Cool.
And I think I should be ready in a couple of weeks. So.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I think I have picked out what my next book, because I think it's my turn next. I think I know what my next selection will be.
Oh, good.
So I'm excited about that, too.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
And The Shiner Show will be in there somewhere also. So get your votes in now while you can. I should do that right now as you're listening.
Yeah.
Go click the link and just vote for whatever you feel comfortable voting for. Please. Right now. Because you don't know when it'll be too late. So that means all there's left to do for this time around is to recommend an album. Do you have an album to recommend for this week?
Yes. I'm going to recommend Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit by Courtney Barnett.
Nice.
I have talked about my deep appreciation for Courtney Barnett on here before, and I might have even recommended this album before. I'm not really sure, but I just really, really love her. I always go back to her stuff. I think her lyrics are so They're just so good and they're so funny. Like, she's just kind of a great storyteller. She just really gets at these very mundane things in a very like humorous way. And I just really love that. I think she's great. And I was in kind of a bad mood earlier this week, and I have to listen to Pedestrian at Best in my car, or I will not be okay.
I was listening to that song like a couple days ago also.
I love that song, and it's such a good one to scream, sing along to in your car if you're having a bad day.
Nice.
So, yeah, I love that album. And I just love Courtney Barnett in general.
Incredible. Let's see, my album. I was going to pick something else, but then on last Friday, two bands that I like dropped new albums. But I have to go with one of my favorites of all time. MGMT dropped their new album, Loss of Life. Nice. Which is crazy good. Everyone should go listen to it. I really like MGMT, one of my favorite bands. And so you're talking about this with the Black Keys, where it's like, it's so cool when like a band that you have loved for a while, whenever they really like, the lead up, like the build up to a new album is such a fun time and fun experience.
It really is.
And that's how I felt with this one. And when the album came out, it lives up to the hype. It's very good.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. I'm excited too.
You should. And everyone listening also should. So that's my recommendation for this week.
Another episode in the books.
So there you have it. Another episode in the books. that was our double feature interdimensional romance throwdown.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could describe either of these movies as a throwdown.
Yeah. Pitting like two of the like gentlest movies against each other. Kind of funny.
But so we'll be back next time for our February wrap up. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I watched so many Mission Impossible movies, man.
Yeah, you can't wait. Yeah,
I'll give my full rundown on the whole franchise, plus a whole lot more for wrap up. Wrap ups are always crazy. And then the Shiners, go vote. Go vote.
Go vote. And read Stoner if you want to partake in book club.
Yes, Stoner by John Williams.
Stoner book club.
Stoner book club. So exciting times at the Speaking English podcast. We'll catch you next time around. Thanks for listening, one and all, and do great things this week. We both believe in you.
We do. Thank you. Bye.
Bye now.